This afternoon, President Bush said he will work to make sure that federal benefits get to the survivors of Hurricane Katrina as quickly as possible. He announced a plan designed to speed access to things like food stamps, Medicaid coverage, and unemployment insurance, even if evacuees have lost their identification. The president also offered these words.
Throughout our history and times of testing, Americans have come together in prayer to heal and ask for strength for the tasks ahead. So I have declared Friday, September the 16th, as a national day of prayer and remembrance. I ask that we pray, as Americans have always prayed in times of trial, with confidence in His purpose, with hope for a brighter future, and with the humility to ask God to keep us strong so that we can better serve our brothers and sisters in need.
President Bush speaking today in Washington. On Capitol Hill today, both houses of Congress passed a second aid package worth close to $52 billion for hurricane victims.
And in New Orleans, the city continues to empty out. More residents who weathered the storm and the flood finally left their homes. There was a block-by-block search to remove remaining survivors. To encourage them to go, warnings continued about dangerous bacteria in the floodwater. Our colleague, Michelle Norris, is in New Orleans, where she spoke with some people who still want to stay in their homes.
Everywhere you look in New Orleans, it's clear that city officials are facing a state of emergency and a state of confusion.
Yeah, I'm over here at 1129 Spain. We got a complaint of a gentleman might be inside.
This morning, a caravan of SWAT team members cruised through the 8th Ward, following up on tips about people trapped inside their homes.
Police department, anybody in there?
The police caravan, now joined by three fire trucks and an ambulance, have surrounded a green and burgundy wood frame home. Firefighters scramble up a ladder, responding to a rumor that screaming was heard from the second floor. Wooden slats have been pried away from a high corner of the home near the roof line, suggesting that someone did try to escape the rising water. A quick search of the home finds no one, and so the caravan moves on to warn holdouts who refuse to leave their homes that soon they'll have no choice. New Orleans Mayor Ray Nagin has said police can force residents from their homes, though today Police Corporal Nate McGee is still on a charm offensive.
I'm trying to convince the people to leave that it's not safe in this area. Try to get them to leave. Act voluntary, not mandatory. Just trying to convince them and explain to them what's going to be going on in the city.
Why do most people stay?
They love New Orleans.
And how they love this city. You see that when you drive down Murray, just off Franklin, and spot a trio of men sprucing up their street as the floodwaters recede. Fit and muscular, at age 62, Edward Butler, an algebra teacher at a nearby middle school, is raking the leaves and trash out of the ankle-deep water in front of his stoop.
We're just keeping the water clear. When the pumps are pumping it out, it'll pump out, and it won't be like that over there that's all clogged up. You see? See the difference?
Just a few steps from Butler stand two of his neighbors, Donald Payne, he's 46, and Kenneth Kindler, he's 50 years old. The three men have no intention of leaving. They've got food, water, red wine, and medicine. They say the constant helicopters and National Guard presence keep the neighborhood safer than before the waters rose. At times, though, their obstinance borders on the ridiculous. Kenneth Kindler, he's the one with the graying ponytail and a black t-shirt that says New Orleans Jazz, is standing in a pool of brackish water, water the EPA now calls a toxic stew.
Kenneth?
Every time I go inside, I wash my feet off with alcohol and peroxide.
I was gonna say,
yes, yes. Yes, I know the bacteria level is very high, yeah. But some of my shoes are still moist. I got them sun drying. But yes, I'm aware of the health I have it. I know what you're saying, what you're about to say.
I'm sorry. I'm not trying to fuss at you, but you have a Band-Aid on your foot.
I know I do. That's why I said a little scrape on my foot, make sure it didn't get any worse.
If you ask the three men what they love about the city, just make sure you're not in a hurry. New Orleans, they say, earned the title the Big Easy for all kinds of reasons. It was a place where musicians could easily find work, a place where it was easy to find whatever, and they do mean whatever you're looking for. And it was a city where it was easy to get by if you didn't have a lot of money in your pocket. Donald Payne ought to know.
If you can't make it in New Orleans, you can't make it nowhere.
help me understand that. How was it easier to get by in a place like...
We could live on a dollar a day with red beans and rice and pork sausage or whatever. We can make a meal out of rice and gravy. We eat well, very well. We know how to stretch meals. So that's part of, you know, the Big Easy, because we know we can make it down here. Girl, for $5, I could feed you for a week.
So what happens when all these people, hundreds of thousands of people, leave New Orleans and land someplace else? Can they find that again?
I doubt that very seriously, because as we speak right now, they are trying to get back in the Big Easy right now, but they just can't.
Now, I want you both to help me understand something. Yes. This, you know, you say you could live on New Orleans a dollar a day. You could a dollar a day, red beans and rice, a little bit of gravy, some fried chicken. Help me understand how you stretched a dollar. How much money did you live on in the course of a month, and how'd you get by?
Oh, $300, that's $400 in a month's time. You're paying my bills and thus forth. I own the house, so $300 a month, I can eat, I can drink, I can go buy me a pair of pants if I want, you know, something like that. I'm not living big time. I got air-conditioned TV, though, you know. I'm good. And I don't have to worry about going to sleep and worrying where my next meal is coming from. If it don't come from the house, it comes out my yard. I have a vegetable garden.
In fact, lunch today was a can of carrots sitting in the middle of the street warming on the pavement under the midday sun. Now, with ingenuity like that, who needs a stove? Edward Butler, the man who was raking debris, says he pays $275 a month for a two-bedroom house, and he points out that New Orleans is full of affordable housing.
You can find you a real nice home from the beginning to the end of New Orleans. Oh, yeah, from the river to the lake.
What to you is the essence of New Orleans, and can you find it again?
The essence of New Orleans. If one don't have self-control of oneself, then one's lost. Happiness will never be found, and this is what the people here do. More poor than rich, you know, but there's happiness here. Unity, you know. Serenity, right here. Oh, definitely. Most definitely. Most definitely. Mm-hmm.
Three men standing firm, they refuse to leave their neighborhood. Our visit with them left us with this question. Now that Katrina has shredded this city's vast network of tight-knit communities, what will now happen to the thousands of poor families who managed to get by in the Big Easy? How will they get by wherever they now land? From New Orleans, this is Michelle Norris. Mm-hmm.